Ilya couldn't believe what he had been reduced to. He was infatuated. It was disgusting.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast bringing you all the internet's most reviewed, most loved, most TikToked about books. And we are telling you if they're really good and if you should fit them into your busy schedule if you are as busy as we are. I'm Casey.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Catherine. And this episode, we are diving in to probably one of the most talked about books this year, as in 2026, 2025, end of 2025. And that is Heated Rivalry by Rachel Reed. Woo. And yes, we did indeed do it because the TV show came out and then everyone and their mother is talking about this book and TV show on TikTok. It is everywhere. I mean, not everywhere because it's really only in the US and Canada, but the UK just got Heated Rivalry, the TV show. So they are slowly expanding outside of North America. Anyway, it follows two hockey players in this book. It's the National Hockey League, NHL. In the TV show, it's MLH because copyright and all that. And it follows these two rivals from their start of their rookie seasons or slightly before that, and follows them for basically over a decade as they encounter their own love for each other, sexuality, like lust for each other. And they are the two basically top people in the hockey league, but they're on rival teams and they are supposed to be rivals according to the rest of the world that has kind of named them this. And So they have to not only deal with hiding their own sexuality and their own feelings, but they also have to deal with being top athletes in a hyper masculine space in sport. And kind of finding a way to each other or away from each other or just kind of living life as two basically members of the LGBTQ community in sport.
Yeah. I am so excited. Do you guys have reviews?
Yes, I do have a review.
And I guess feel like it's a 5-star, not a 1-star.
Yes, it is. It is, because I didn't want to even try the 1 stars because I'm afraid of being homophobic in that 1-star area.
And anyone who picked up that book to read should not be homophobic because they should look at the cover. And
yes, agreed.
You should know what you're getting into. Yeah,
but I wouldn't be surprised if I had clicked on that and seen some stupid ass homophobia. Anyway, so reasons you should read this book. Ilya fucking Rosenov. 5 stars.
I stand by it. Caitlin, do you want to go next? You may have lower stars.
I picked a 4.5 star, so calm down. It says, great book if you're looking for smut. But we all knew that. I do prefer a little more emotional development usually, but I've been told the long game really gets into the emotional parts of the relationship.
There you go. Okay, I have two. One of them is actually really long and I should maybe read in the spoiler section. But it's also a romance, so we'll see. The first one is 5 stars, not so much enemies to lovers, but enemies and lovers. Nothing better. That stuff makes me swoon. I was like, yes,
glock. Period.
Okay. The second one's long, so strap in. And also we might cut this out depending on if Catherine and Caitlin think it's too much of a spoiler. Two hockey players, both dumbasses in their own way, join the NHL and become rich and famous. They play for different teams, but don't let that get in the way of a decade-long, lots-of-strings-attached, top-secret affair. Ilya is a cocky, ne'er-do-well Russian, and Shane is a Canadian who is chihuahua-like in his nervous energy. This book is not a slow burn in the traditional sense, as we see them bang vigorously in an empty condo within the first 20 pages. But it is a slow burn in the sense that neither of them admit to possessing a single feeling besides Shane's anxiety until about 65% of the way in. If you're concerned that you're not enough of a sports fan to enjoy, let me assure you, I have never watched a hockey game in my life and I gave this 5 stars. It's people on ice chasing a biscuit. Don't worry about it. If you reach the end and go, sorry, what? Fear not. They have a second book and you will want to get into it immediately. Why do I love this book with such devoted fervor? Simple. I adore idiots to lovers, and Ilya and Shane are their kings.
I love that. I don't think that's that much of a spoiler.
Idiots to lovers. I love them so much.
What is the first book about? Because this is the second one.
The first book is about Scott Hunter and Kip.
Oh.
Okay. They're the game changers.
Yeah.
They make an important cameo in this book.
They do.
I did not read them.
They are important to the heated rivalry story, but it's standalone. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Well, the overall Goodread. Wait, do we do this first? Or we do our own first? So disorganized today. The overall Goodreads rating is 4.32 out of 5. The Fable rating is 4.27 out of 5. And the Storygraph rating is 4.23 out of 5. Very highly rated. What did you guys think?
Do you want me to go first or last?
You'll go first.
You can go first. Okay. You just don't like it as much.
I gave it 3 stars. I liked the storyline and the plot. But you know me, I'm a plot girly. And for me, there is such thing as too much smut in a book. That's a critique I've had of other books, not just this one. Yeah. When there is very descriptive sex in every single chapter, it's not always, it's never for me, actually. I like a little spice. I also like a slow burn. This is the opposite of a slow burn. I enjoyed the plot and the characters. And there are, like, quips and stuff. It just, like, you could have removed a lot of sex and made it 100 pages shorter, and I would have been more interested, personally.
Fair enough.
Also, just to be, I don't have any of the parts these characters have. Maybe I would have been more into it if we shared the same parts, but we do not.
That did not bother me.
Not at all.
It's not as hot when I don't relate.
Anyway, Catherine, do you want to go next or should I? I know we're both like bursting at the seams.
Yeah, I'll go next. And I'm going to reiterate what Casey just said. I don't care if I don't have any of the parts. It was still hot and steamy for me. Loved it so much. Two hot guys falling in love. What's not to like? So I gave it 4 stars because like, obviously it's like, it's a great book, but at the same time, I recognize that there are some, it's not a perfect book, obviously, but I love the characters. I loved their story. I loved the situation that they've kind of been put in, because I think this was a very unique romance book. Like, you don't really see this kind of romance out there. And I thought that it was kind of like, it was really good. Like, I read the first book first, and then I read this one, and then I read the 6th book. So that's kind of like a weird, I've skipped around.
I'm so confused about how many books are in here.
Yes. So there's
a lot of different books.
There's 6 books in this series. A 7th one is coming out. So yes. I read the first book with Scott and Kip and gave that 3 stars. And then I gave this one 4 stars. And then I read the 6th book, which is the sequel for Shane and Ilya, and gave that 5 stars. So
all the ones in between.
They're other people.
Others.
All gay men in hockey?
Yes.
Yep. Written by a woman?
Yes.
Yep.
Her husband is bisexual.
And she's also bisexual.
Okay, but she still don't have those parts, so I want to know what her research was.
No. She has admitted this. Her research was asking her husband to beta read them and give her pointers.
That's honestly pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I also gave the book 4 out of 5 stars, and I loved it. Like, I had a very positive 4 out of 5 stars. I think this book is actually extremely well written. There is so much showing and not telling in this book. I actually found the writing to be really sophisticated because the intimacy between the characters grows very naturally and through so many small interactions that build up over time that I actually thought it read really organic and also really realistic. One of the things that I put in my review is that Shane and Ilya actually felt real to me and their problems felt real to me, which is part of why I grew to love them so much. I think one of the biggest problems I have with other rom-coms is that the characters and their problems feel very performative and not very real. And these two characters have really deep problems. They're struggling with their sexuality. They're forced to be in the closet. That creates these really significant barriers to their relationship. And the way they discuss them and navigate them is very realistic through all of these small vignettes over the course of years. So I would actually argue that this is the slowest burn we've ever read. and not slow burn physically, but incredibly slow burn in developing intimacy and developing real connection. Like, it felt really beautiful and really real to me. Also, I recently came out as bi, and Ilya is like the best bi representation I've ever encountered. And so I developed like this really just like deep connection with him and like his character, because I genuinely felt like very seen by him. And so, yeah, I loved it. It's still only 4 stars, though, because there is a little too much sex. There is just like a little too much sex. So.
Wow, I mean, it wasn't just me. Okay.
No. Yes. That's the reason why I gave the first book 3 stars, is because there's even more sex in the first book.
Wait, was there a plot?
Yes, there was a plot, but like it was a lot of sex. And then the 5th book is less sex. I'll say that.
Okay. Because I was
Okay, never mind.
On my 7th sex scene in a row, I was like, I need a break.
Yeah, no, I agree. Oh my God, I love that so much.
Yeah. Okay. Well, is the book more plot or character driven? We've already.
Not plot.
Definitely not plot.
Actually driven by lust entirely.
Yep.
Lust. Not characters and not plot, hormones.
Oh, no.
Definitely in the beginning when they're both 19. Like,
they're like,
I know,
teenagers.
I was like, I'm glad you clarified when they first met they were 18, because that was weird.
Yeah. Yep. They were young little babies. They don't have sex till a little bit later. But yes, I would say this book is very character driven. It's essentially the villain in the book is the NHL keeping them apart because they cannot be out. Which is essentially what keeps them apart for much of the book, in addition to their own emotional issues. But then the character growth is how they eventually kind of decide to be more honest, and the relationship grows from there.
And I think it was just beautifully done to make it over multiple years. And like, they're no longer rookies. They're now like multiple contract, multimillionaire veterans in the league by the end of the book. And they're still at their prime, but they're getting up into their late 20s. And I think that's just like such a good idea. Like, I mean, because the first book in the series is over like 2 months or 3 months. This book happens before and after the first book.
Yeah. I saw a bunch of memes about like watching someone do in 3 months what you've been waiting 10 years to do.
Yeah. Like,
yep. Okay. We've already talked about this a little too, but have you, or would you read other books by the author? The series is about a bunch of different hockey players. So Ilya and Shane have multiple books, but a bunch of the other books are just standalones about different people, different couples.
But Ilya makes an appearance in every single one of the books.
Yes, because he is like a little gremlin.
Yes, he's a bisexual gremlin who clocks people as gay very quickly.
Yeah, he can see. He's been knowing. So, yeah, I have only read Heated Rivalry so far, but I just bought The Long Game, which is Shane and Ilya's next book in the series, and I'm definitely going to be reading that one.
I'm good.
You know what? That's fair. It's fair.
For the same reason I didn't keep reading An Icebreaker, I'm good.
Yeah.
It was a good one-off for me.
Yeah. That's I will say, I cannot believe, much like I was shocked by Butcher and Blackbird, I cannot believe someone out there got me to enjoy a hockey romance, but here we are.
Yeah, I'm surprised too.
And it will be my last. Do not try to foist other hockey romances onto me.
This is a very specific niche hockey romance that Casey will enjoy.
I just like was given a challenge that awoke me though, so.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Going to the boy aquarium, girls.
Yeah, we're going to the boy aquarium. This is the foray into hockey smut that we can go into for this podcast.
Smut books revitalizing dying sports franchises since, you know, 2 years ago.
Oh my God.
Honestly, fact.
Yeah, I love the actors in this series coming and being like, the failing NHL, not them marketing off of us. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Not them marketing off of us when they were the villain.
Book talk has saved hockey.
Yes.
There were plenty of hockey fans. They have way more now, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Their ticket prices have increased exponentially.
And not just because of this book. There have been, you know, a plethora of hockey romances.
The Boy Aquarium was before even the series came out.
Yeah. It's become its own genre.
It has.
Yeah. Anyway, how was the pacing of the book? How long did it take you to read?
I read it in one sitting. So
I read as much as I could in one sitting to get it over with.
Yeah.
I read like 80% in one evening.
So I have a tale to go along with this. But
were you also reading it at your desk at work and couldn't do that anymore?
No, but actually worse. I was reading it when I was home for the holidays with my family.
Your mom doesn't care. Your mom was probably like, give me that. Share.
My mom is the smut queen in chief. And yeah. So she actually just finished Heated Rivalry and loved it. But
well, reading it by your dad, that's a different story.
Yeah. Did not want to do that at all. I did enjoy it. I think I went in very blind. Like, I knew the show was becoming very popular. I knew it was about two hockey players, but I really did not understand what I was getting myself into. And so the books, despite its popularity, still really surprised me, because y'all know I'm a romance hater. And I kind of like got sucked into the book, and I didn't really know that would happen when I started it. But there is so much sex in this book that I just couldn't read that much sex, like sitting on the couch with my sisters. And so I think it took me a full week to read, because just after like the third sex scene in a row, I was like, I just have to put this down for a minute. Like, I just can't keep reading different gay sex over and over again.
I did the opposite and was like, just push through.
Push through. But as I fell in love with the book, I started wanting to go back and reread it, because I think I knew that I had missed some things because I wasn't reading as closely at the start. So
be clear,
I
books Casey has reread: Heated Rivalry and Serpent in the Wings of Night.
That's it. Those are the two, literally the only two.
A book has to meet a high bar in order for Casey to reread.
To be rereadable. Because I also normally only reread when I feel like I want to reevaluate the characters from the beginning, knowing what I know by the end. So anyway, I read the book. It took me forever. It took me a week because the sex. And then I watched the show, and then I reread the book in a single day. So and annotated
it. There's too much sex, but you have consumed it multiple times.
Yes. Well, the show I watched first by myself, and now I'm by myself in my own apartment, so I can consume privately. Yeah.
Yeah, I read like 10% at my desk and then was like, perhaps not. While I was like eating my lunch, and I was like, okay, it's page 5 and they're doing butt stuff, so I'm out. sorry, Dad, if you're listening. He's listening. He is listening.
Surely he understands what gay sex entails.
Okay, we're moving on from this.
Anyway, another question we have that we obviously have already given the answer to: would you watch a TV show of the book or a movie of the book? Yes, I have already, and it's my new personality. I'm obsessed with it.
Yes, I have watched it multiple times through, and it also has become my new
personality. Catherine watched the finale on the middle seat of a 10-hour flight, guys.
I did. I started the series when episode 4 had just come out, and so I binged watched those first 4, and then I had to wait week by week for episode 5 and 6. And unfortunately, episode 6 came out when Christmas night, and I was on a 10-hour flight to London at that point. And I was like, no, because in London you don't have access to HBO Max, so I knew I would not have the ability to watch it. So I purchased in-flight Wi-Fi on British Airways flight. I was in the middle seat. Both of the people next to me were asleep, thank God. But I really wasn't going to care that much, because I needed to go to the cottage. I needed to go to the cottage. I needed to watch it. And I have no regrets. None.
Here we go.
You know, I was raised Southern Baptist prude, okay? And there are some things I have grown out of, and some things I can't shake, and I will not be watching what to me in book form equates to on television pornography. I just think, me personally, I'm not that interested in gay sex as an onlooker.
It's so much more than that.
I will say,
but is it?
So it actually, I do have a rant about this, because the whole public narrative about the show in particular is about the sex. Mm-hmm. There is way less sex in the show than there is in the book.
Yeah.
And it's also because
all I've heard is it's a whole show about sex.
No.
And it's very tastefully done. It's actually, the sex scenes are less explicit than most heterosexual sexual scenes I've seen on television.
Because all I've seen is the interviews with the guy who plays Shane crawling across the floor.
Well, that's Hudson Williams. He is a feral boy.
Yeah. Put it this way, I'm one person who still sort of likes that sort of thing to be a private thing, you know? And yeah, I may still be a prude.
Yeah, that's fine.
I probably will not watch.
But I do want to say for everyone, what actually gets you into it is the love story. Yes. And the sex scenes are not as explicit. They are very sexy because this director understands sexual tension. But for the most part, they are less explicit also than most male-female sex scenes that are broadcasted.
And it's a lot more...
Because the TikTok girlies make it sound like it's boring.
Yeah. Well, all this hysteria is just A, because it's actually well done. So it actually feels sexy rather than watching just two people fuck. It actually like feels sexy. And also people are hysterical because it's two men. And so they're making it a bigger deal than it really is.
Well, to be clear, I'm not a fan of that no matter what genders they are. Like watching is different than reading for me. Yeah. It makes me uncomfortable. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's fair. I would not recommend watching it with other people.
Like even Game of Thrones made me uncomfortable, guys.
Yes. So it is, I would equate it to Game of Thrones, but less gratuitous. Yeah. And I also would say the
Game of Thrones is male gaze.
Yeah, it's definitely more female gaze for sure. And it is
it's funny because it's done by men.
Yes, it's done by a gay man, but it's written by a bisexual woman. So it is, I think, it's the yearning and it's the romance. That's what you get into it for. The cinematography is fantastic. Like, there is just so much going for the show because towards the end, like, there's one episode where there is no sex scenes at all.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the case in the book.
Yeah, no. The book would never.
A book is 50% sex.
The book, you can get no peace. Every single scene has at least one sex scene in it. Like
it does. I was like, what's it going to be this time? Where will it be?
The first time I was reading it, because I have also never read a book that was that much smut before. Like most of the smut books we read are still more plot forward than this. And I was like, actually shocked every time I turn the page. And I was like, oh, another sex scene. Oh, another sex scene. Like it does not stop.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it still managed to be a very emotionally deep book.
Why isn't Catherine wearing her shirt with their faces on it that she wore to the book club, the bookstore to watch it with other smutty people?
Yes, the girlies and the gays went to a bookstore and watched it. It was just a romance bookstore that just opened up. And I watched the first episode on Thursday.
In a shirt she purchased with her money.
Yes, in a shirt that is a Holonov t-shirt, and I have no regrets about it, but it is in the washing machine currently, so I cannot wear it for this podcast episode.
Disappointing. Yeah. You should have planned accordingly.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyway, in summary, Rachel Reed had only 50 non-sexual words in this book, and she got everything she needed out of them because it is a love story. So anyway, we've been talking forever, and we haven't even gotten to our busy girl reading yet.
Busy girl like 4 still for me. I know it's explicit, but like it's an easy book to read.
I give it a 4. You can read it in one sitting as long as I think that you're prepared for the sexual content. I don't give it a 5 because I do think the sex does slow down the pace a little bit, but it is ultimately still a good book and it can be done in a day.
I'm gonna give it a 3. Because there are lots of people out there like me that no matter what the pace is, are very uncomfortable.
Well,
I'm sorry.
If you're one of those people,
I liked the romance. I liked the plot. I didn't like how many sex scenes there were.
And that is
fair.
There's just too much sex.
It's not the first book where that's happened either. So
no.
Yeah. Well, we are finally at our spoiler alert section. It's a romance, so there's only so many surprises, but, you know, the journey along the way is exciting. So if you haven't consumed Heated Rivalry yet, I highly recommend you go read it so that you get it, you get everything we're talking about, and then come back and we will discuss the rest of the romance.
I would like to insert a question before the questions. Did you like having the first chapter be like in the middle of their relationship and then going back and rewinding?
It did not bother me. I thought that I'm trying to think back to like before I had become like an absolute addict for the entire franchise. And I think the reason that I would argue that I think that is necessary is because I think that in the beginning, you have to know that they're eventually heading towards a more emotional place.
That first scene was not emotional.
It indicates, though, that they're
kept saying F you, F you.
And then I feel like that. It implies that their relationship has like a lot more ways to go. I don't think it was necessarily super important to have done it that way, but it also didn't bother me.
See, I feel like I would have got more of a slow burn vibe without that opening scene.
That's true.
I think I personally, just how I like romance is paced, would have liked it better had that not been there. I don't think either way it matters a ton. Like, I see your point too. I was just wondering how other people felt about it.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I have no notes. I agree with Casey where it's the idea of you need to see that they're heading into a direction that is not just sex, it is romance. Yes,
there's
you can make those faces, Caitlin, but that's that there's undertones even when they're yelling at each other.
Yeah, like there's tension, yes, but it goes, this isn't even like, what would you call this? Hate hookup to lovers?
No, they never hated each other.
For the first half of the book, it is purely lust.
Yeah, sure. But I would never say they hated each other.
I said hate hookups.
Still, I don't think it's a hate
hookup. This is a real enemies to lovers. This is actual rivals to lovers. And I don't know. I think that they like each other so much and it comes to on very early.
Yeah.
So I resist the assumption that like they weren't in love until later in the book, because I think the sort of like feeling of them liking each other and like ribbing each other and like having
liked each other. I don't think they were in love until like
more
than halfway through.
Yeah, no, they didn't love each other until later on, but they were infatuated with each other, I think.
Okay, Shane doesn't even know he's gay for the first half of the book.
Yeah, well, Shane is autistic.
I know. So that's what I'm saying. Like, they were not in love early on.
No.
Shane wouldn't even admit he was gay.
Fall in love with a man and not know that you're gay.
Yes.
Like, Shane proves that.
I would argue, though, they were not in love until much later.
I don't think I agree with that.
I think they were denying it.
Falling in love very early on. And I think you can see that their feelings for each other are deeper, like way before they are actually willing to voice that or act on that.
Well, yes. I don't think as early as you're saying, personally.
It's fine. But I do. Our first question is about the two main characters. And to me, the characters is what makes the story. Like, this is such a character heavy book. And I thought both characters were so lovable and so real. And I thought Ilya was so funny. Like, this, he legitimately made me laugh so many times in this book. Like, half of the things I have annotated in my copy are me being like, dude, Ilya is so funny. Like, this is making me laugh. Like,
it's stupid so Canadian wolf bird.
So silly and so funny and so sarcastic. Which shocked me because Caitlin said earlier that she didn't even think that the book was funny. And I thought it was so funny.
There were funny lines, but I wouldn't describe it as like that book was so funny.
It's definitely not a comedy, but I thought that Ilya was so funny, and I loved
it. It was in context of this review I was reading that was just like, this book is the funniest book I've ever read. I was like, no.
You were like, what about Dungeon Crawler Carl?
That is the funniest book I've ever read, okay?
I disagree.
Actually, maybe even not. There's probably funnier.
Anyway, the first question is about the two main characters. I'm obsessed with them both, but I like am Ilya. I had a friend text me and be like, you're just like Ilya, because he's like so sarcastic and avoidant and funny.
Shocker. I like Shane better.
Yeah. And Shane is a little anxious.
The personality thing, little introvert.
Yes. Yeah. I relate to Shane so much. It's just being like extremely anxious and like an introvert and really wanting to live up to his parents' wishes for him. Like, he really just wants to please everyone. But also, like, I love Ilya too. Like, I love them both. They're my boys. Like, I would die for these two. They are everything.
I do like a chemistry when it's like a rule following golden boy that has to get, or golden girl that has to get pushed out of their comfort zone by the rebel.
The bad boy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the fantasy equivalent of like a shadow daddy, you know? Yeah. Like, I do love the chemistry of like the goody guy and the bad boy.
And I did say earlier that Shane is on the spectrum. And that, mm-hmm. that is not explicitly said in the book series, but it's said because of the TV show. The actor asked Rachel Reed when he was like trying to do a character study of Shane. And he was like, do you think Shane is on the spectrum? She's like, yeah, I definitely wrote him like that. So he is played in the show also as slightly on the spectrum, not understanding social cues. And that's what causes some miscommunication between the two main characters, is because Ilya is very much so not. Like, he understands social cues very well, and Shane does not. So that's where Ilya has to...
Are you saying gay panic may just be autism?
I did not say that. Caitlin said that.
I think he's suffering from both.
Yes.
I didn't pick up on the autism thing.
Yeah, but I thought it was very
interesting. Everybody's got touch of the tism.
Yes. And I thought that was very interesting that you can see Ilya towards the end of the book get more blunt and more direct with his statements towards Shane, because he realizes that's the only way that Shane will respond, because he has to have it drawn out in front of him, black and white, not gray.
Right. I did not think Ilya would say it first.
Yeah.
I thought he would.
He definitely like fell first, because this is my interpretation of their love story, is that Ilya understands very early on that they are playing with fire, because he understands how much he likes Shane and understands that that will lead them down a path that is very dangerous for both of them. Because I think he is more realistic and blunt in understanding of the relationship and what it can become and his own feelings. But he is ultimately a more avoidant person. So in the book, when he expresses his like desire for intimacy and like wanting to move things along with Shane, he always comes at things kind of sideways, like with the infamous tuna melt scene. Like, he's trying to care for Shane. He's trying to like ask him to stay, but he struggles to do it directly. He kind of says like, oh, I'm making a sandwich for myself, and so I'll just make one for you. It's not a big deal, even though
he's like the tough guy trying to stay tough, but also.
Well, and the funny thing is like tuna melt is a very Canadian thing. And the fact that Ilya would have Shane's favorite pickles, would have Shane's favorite drink, as in ginger ale, even though he drinks Coke. Like, it's very much so he planned this out in his mind to make sure that Shane would stay, because he knew Shane would bolt if he felt any sort of inkling of this is getting too serious.
Right. And so we understand what Ilya is trying to do, but Shane, partly because of his autism, partly because of his own stuff, gets there much later than Ilya. So, like, Shane, though, is someone who can't pretend. Like, once he understands, it takes him forever to understand his own sexuality. But once he does, he has to, like, be honest about it. It takes him forever to understand that he's actually in love with Ilya. But once he does, he's the person who can't pretend anymore. So it's ultimately him who says, like, I like you, I think a little too much. Like, I can't keep pretending that we're just hooking up, because we both know that's not what we're doing anymore.
Well, they're also coming from different angles, too, where, like, Ilya has been with many people of both genders and understands that this is different, where Shane has not. And so he's kind of like, oh, shoot, what's happening?
Right. And that's definitely true. And so I always say, like, the first half of the book is, like, Ilya coming to terms with the relationship, and the second half of the book is Shane coming to terms with the relationship.
Which is interesting, because I feel like Shane fell first, but...
He falls first, but he doesn't understand that he's falling. He doesn't know that he's fallen.
Right.
Ilya knows
that he's falling in love with Shane and is trying to stop it. And Shane is falling in love and like oblivious. Like,
and doesn't realize it.
No.
Yeah. Because I would say Shane falls first, but Ilya is the first one to recognize that he fell first.
And then the very end of the book is them actually like coming together now that they're both ready to actually... They've done the emotional work.
Yeah, I just thought like Shane wanting him to come to the cottage and stuff. That's why I thought Shane would say it first.
Right. But and Shane's also the more blunt one. So you would expect it to be Shane.
Right. But Ilya, and Ilya's more stubborn. So I was like, he's going to hold out. And then he said it. I was like, oh.
But it's like a beautiful reversal that Ilya said first, because you know also how hard it was for him to say. And so you like understand the gravity of the moment so well. Oh, it makes me so emotional.
I know.
Okay. Next question. What did you guys think about the rivalry aspect and the portrayal of the NHL? Obviously, the relationship starts because Shane and Ilya are like the two top hockey prospects, and they are battling it out on the ice against each other pretty frequently.
If there's not a little competition in a relationship, even if it's just like board games or whatever, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Just like the maximum of that.
Yes. You cannot let people win. You have to give it your fucking all.
The rivalry is not even their fault. They got like plugged into it.
Right.
But I liked it. I thought that made it interesting. Like it would have been totally different if they didn't play in the same conference and stuff.
I just loved that the idea that the rivalry was never theirs in the making. Like they never like started this shit. Like they actually respected each other. And that's when you see that first meeting in Saskatchewan. It's like, Shane is just like, I'm a huge fan. Like you're like really good. The rivalry was created by the fandom and created by the media in order to beef up and boost up their own sales and like say like, look at this, like let's sell tickets to these two facing off at center ice. And it's like, they're just like, we're just playing a game. This is the game we love. This is the game we grew up with. We're really good at it. And why not try and be the best?
But they also were rivals in the sense that they did really want to beat each other.
Yes.
And they really loved playing against each other. Mm-hmm. I think the sport part of the relationship is really important to me because it shows how equally matched they are. Once we get to the personal side, we can also see how different they are. And they have like a really nice, like sort of yin and yang dynamic, like grumpy sunshine that I think works really well. But I think when they're playing hockey is when we can really see their chemistry and like why they're so drawn to each other, because at their core, they both have this like competitive spirit and this kind of also really like intensity to them, because high level athletes are like very like determined, hardworking people. So it's hot. And I think it kind of puts them on the basis where like Shane and Ilya are competitors. Even if in their relationship, it's like, you know, this tough Russian and like this little baby girl.
Canadian.
Yeah.
Well, the idea of like the two of them are facing very strong emotions towards each other. And that's why like everyone says like there's a thin line between love and hate, is because if you are showing that much passion and emotion towards someone, there's some feeling beneath that surface that has to be a mutual kind of respect and a mutual kind of like, this is someone that I want to be better than, and like I'm going to better myself to be better than them.
Right.
I love competition.
Oh,
good.
Yeah,
competition. Love it.
It reads so good. I love it. Okay, so a big part of the book and a big part of Ilya's like moodiness and withdrawal in the first part of the book is because of his family. That's a big struggle for him, is sort of navigating his father's dementia and his sort of manipulative brother. And that's contrasted against Shane, who has like a very supportive and loving family. What did y'all think about that dynamic in the book and their rival hockey teams?
So I liked the complexity, like it added depth to Ilya for sure. Mm-hmm. However, I would have liked it, I think, if it had just been like, my dad's a cop and culturally in Russia, like, I'm not allowed to be what I am. Mm-hmm. I think the whole like, oh, it's asking for money was an easy way to burn the bridge so that Ilya could just like not go back to Russia. Like, I think that was a little too easy. Granted, it's a romance, so like, whatever. I think it would have almost been deeper if it was just like, my family will not be proud of me if I lose or if I'm gay.
Right. I can see the point to that.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it was sort of a matter of convenience. Like now Ilya has no ties to Russia, like you said. But I did also like it because I do think there is part of it that's very realistic. Like, that's something people who are successful in general talk about a lot, is how it can strain your close relationships because people do start to see you as sort of an opportunity.
Leeches in your family.
Right.
I was saying throwing dementia in was like another, I was like, whoa, there's a lot going on here.
I think the dementia is a really important part of the story, though, because like that's the only reason why Ilya continues to go back to Russia, because he could have said, fuck all of you if everyone was healthy. Mm-hmm. But he can't do that when his dad is dealing with a sickness. But
then you also throw in his mom killed herself.
Yes.
Right. There was a lot of things.
There was a lot. He had a lot of trauma, a lot of baggage to unpack. But I guess I appreciated because, like, he knew his dad was struggling because he can't remember and he's slowly, like, not remembering where he is and stuff like that. So he wants to be there for his dad in any way he can, which he can't really be physically. So he has to be there monetarily and financially.
Yeah, I guess I just didn't really get what his incentive was to continue supporting his dad, who was very awful to him.
I was actually talking to
someone outside of duty
other day, and I really like Ilya's backstory because I think it is all perfectly balanced, because his mom dying obviously, like, greatly impacted him because she was his healthy parent, basically. But his mom dying is also basically the only reason he continues to go back to Russia, because his father is his last surviving parent and is the parent who's cared for him since his mom passed. So even though he hates him, I think he still feels loyalty to him and also fear of losing him, because once his father dies, he will not have parents. And he doesn't have a lot of family support because his brother is also a piece of shit. And so I think it does create a necessary push-pull, because even if Ilya loved his mom, he probably would not have gone back to Russia, because his mom would just come visit him and, like, not need to be, like, with his abusive father anymore. And I think him only having one parent created the situation where he felt fear of losing his father, even if they had a bad relationship. And then also, like, Ilya having to go back to Russia is also part of what keeps him apart.
I just feel like that was more of a show me, don't tell me, and we didn't see a ton of why he still wanted to go care for his father.
Well, he does say in the book where
don't tell me.
Yeah. Yes, you're correct in that sense. But I mean, he does tell Shane, like, part of the reason why he can't come out and, like, can't be his true authentic self is because he can never go back to Russia and he'll never see his mom's grave again. And that's a huge thing for him, because it feels like he's losing his mother again. I do agree that, like, it does seem like there's not a ton of reasoning behind continuing to, like, fund and, like, be with these pieces of shit. But it's also, like, all he's ever known. That's his homeland. Like, you're going to feel some sort of way about your homeland, even if you hate the people around you. And he also has, like, Svetlana, and he has people that he actually does care about from Russia. But I do agree, like, once his dad died, that cord kind of snapped because his brother's a piece of shit. And so that's when he could finally be like, okay, I can see a future with Shane now, because I don't have to ever go back to Russia again.
Right.
I just don't get, if he felt that duty to his dad, who sucks, why didn't he feel that duty to his brother? You know, like, I would have liked more in his backstory, I guess.
Okay.
Fair enough. You could have added more of that and taken away a couple sex scenes.
That's fair.
Never. We needed all 50. Okay, so there are some good side characters in this book, especially women who end up being sort of significant symbols of the lives the boys could have led if they didn't meet each other. And that is sort of seen with Rose and Svetlana. Very interesting that she's named Rose, because Ilya's nickname is Roz. Anyway, what did you guys think of the female characters?
I freaking loved them. Mm-hmm. Loved, loved, loved. And I loved how supportive they were, because it could have been very easy to write a female character that's, like, mad about the situation and mad that, like, you don't love me, like, fuck you for lying to me. Like, it's so easy to fall into that trope of, like, the vindictive woman. And obviously Rachel Reed, being a woman, would never do that. But I loved that these two women were there to, like, guide and support the men that they love, even if they didn't love them romantically, where it's just being like, honey, like, you need to accept this part of yourself. And, like, why isn't there more openly gay NHL players? Like, they come from the perspective of, like, love and support, and also being, like, fully fleshed out women who can see and say, like, hey, it's okay. Like, you're safe with me. You can tell me. And that's, like, the first person that Shane can tell fully his full secret. Not even he hasn't even told Ilya his full secret. Like, that's
the first person. I do love that it took a supermodel actress. He had hit the upper echelons of dating women. Yeah. And it took her to be like, Betty, I think you're gay.
Right. She's like, every man wants me and you don't want me.
Right. She's like, my friend over here wants you and I think you want him back.
Right. I do.
Kind of sad they never hooked up, by the way.
I know. I do love the women in the book. The women in the book.
The best woman in the book is Shane's mom.
Yes. Queen, goddess. Oh my gosh. Such a supporter. Our favorite little momager. Yes. The scene where Shane like comes out to her like makes me cry. I also
that scene was countered with so much humor that it was. I liked that scene.
Yeah, it is a funny scene because the situation is ridiculous, but it's like everyone is a good person, and so it's able to be funny and not so like devastating or serious.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really did love that the women are in the book. Because Svetlana and Rose are the perfect partners, like for Shane and Ilya, and what they would have wanted if they hadn't ended up falling in love with each other. So,
well, and Ilya's like, I could marry her and get citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't care.
Poor baby Shane. And
Shane's like, no,
please don't do this.
When he's like, we could get married, and Shane panics, but then he's like, me and Svetlana, and Shane's like, panic the other direction.
Yeah. It's so cute. That, and also one of my favorite scenes, probably my favorite scene in the book, is when Ilya's like, yes, I have all these hot women and they're so sexy, they're so fun, but I can't stop thinking about this slow fucking hockey player with freckles.
Beautiful freckles.
It doesn't matter how many of these women I spend time with, I'm always wishing they were him.
Yeah.
I love that scene. Oh my gosh.
So good. And it's good in the show and it's good in the book.
It is. And I do think it's, again, like a great depiction of bisexuality because it's like queerness isn't a choice. Like you still love who you love at the end of the day. So it was so beautiful.
So beautiful. I cried so much during this TV show and this book. Like, I mean, I'm an emotional queen.
Okay. Well, something we have not talked a ton about yet is the sort of NHL and the hyper-masculine environment and homophobic environment of hockey being a big barrier in the book. Because especially in the Rachel Reed greater universe where there's all these gay NHL hockey players,
does the big guy that Ilya sits next to on the plane end up being gay?
Yes.
I could
call it.
I could tell immediately.
My gaydar is better than theirs.
I was like, why are you calling this man by his full Christian name? Like, surely he
gets Ryan Price, yeah.
He's so quiet and strange. He's gay, obviously.
Yeah. Reading Anne of Green Gables, clocked.
Is it the red hair?
Yeah. So, yeah, how did you guys feel about the league and the fact that it basically prevented all these players from feeling like they could come out?
I think it's very fascinating and it's a good discussion to be had even in the year of our Lord 2026, because there's not currently any openly gay or bisexual hockey players or football players, current active players or basketball players.
I remember when the first football player like came out as openly gay and I feel like I can't even remember who it was because it got written off so fast. Like, oh, okay.
And I think he very quickly like retired or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually had a thought while reading this book because, you know, like across all American professional sports leagues, in the male leagues, I don't think there is a single out player.
It's like the opposite in the female. Everyone's like, so you're a lesbian.
Everybody's
like, not all of us are lesbians.
But it's more of an active supporting group where they're like, okay, you can be your sexuality.
Right. There's not
half
this.
My favorite soccer team are lesbians.
Yes, because they don't have this oppressive culture around them, dictating that they be straight, stereotypically masculine men.
That's the thing, too, is this sounds crazy, but I almost feel like it would have been easier to come out as a football player than as a hockey player, because hockey is just so much more, like, somehow even more physical.
Yeah.
And you're spending so much more time, you know, pressed up against each other, yelling terrible things, fighting. It's just more of the culture of fighting where, like, that stuff gets shut down in football. If you, like, called someone, you know, derogatory, homophobic words in football, you'd get fined. Hockey, no.
Yeah, it's a common locker room talk.
Yeah.
But it sort of just made me think as I was reading this book, because you know for a fact that there are closeted gay men in professional sports right now as we speak.
Statistically speaking, and yes.
There are. They are there. We don't know who they are.
And they also may be like Shane and don't know it.
Right. Or they're like Ilya and they know it and they will keep their own secret. And I was like, reading this book and seeing the popularity of Huge Rivalry must feel like the twisting of the most agonizing.
It's like the life. Scott Hunter in real life.
Yeah. Watching the world go crazy over gay athletes when you are a gay athlete and you feel like you can't tell
but anyone. You would still get bullied by the other super masculine men around you.
Right. You would. And it's also, it's different when it's in a feminine space, because we are reading this book and consuming this content as a TV show and as a romance book, which is a predominantly female space, which is a lot more accepting of said groups of people. But if this were to happen in real life, it would be in a hyper masculine space with majority predominantly male fan base. So they would have a different reaction.
There are some straight boys on TikTok watching the show.
There are.
I think it's interesting.
I do think that this show and this book has opened up a conversation that people were not willing to have prior to this book and show.
You know, if she changes the world with this smutty book, good for her.
I will say, I did see one hockey player, he's not in the NHL, has come out.
I saw that too.
And he credited in the first line of his coming out was, heated rivalry gave me the strength to do this.
But then the news person in me is like, that feels like a paparazzi grab. And like immediately my mind is like, does he mean it? You know, like there's just so much doubt.
Definitely means
it exists in the world. Like, I know he means it. But you know, like,
never come out as a hockey player.
No, if you I know. Mean it. But there are people out there who, like, even if you make that brave choice, it's not always the first thought of like, oh, yay, you know?
Right. No, there's still a majority of sports fans that I think are not allies.
No.
But hopefully that can change. And that does kind of segue into our next question, because in the book, Scott Hunter, who is the main character of the first Heated Rivalry series book, comes out very publicly because he wins the cup and he brings his boyfriend Kip out onto the ice and gives him a big old kiss on television.
Cried so
hard. I did like their reactions to that.
Yes. And I love that moment because you can feel everything change. Like, you can feel how much it means to Shane and Ilya and how it totally changes what they see as possible. And that is basically like, at that point in the book, Ilya is thinking about breaking it off with Shane because he knows that they're falling in love and he knows that they don't have a future. And so he thinks the best thing for them to do is to just end it, even though it's going to be painful. And then he sees Scott Hunter kiss his boyfriend and it changes everything. And I loved that.
He goes to the cottage.
And he goes to the cottage.
Shane immediately.
And he did go to the Scott Hunter night at a gay bar in the first book. That's the first time we see Ilya Rosenov.
He mentions it in the second book.
Yeah. The scene's very funny.
Very funny. Ilya goes to a gay club with Scott Hunter. Shane sends email.
Yes.
Very personality based.
Yes. So real.
But to be fair, Shane was not at the awards because he was still battling his concussion.
Yeah.
So let me send him an email telling him he's brave, but not telling him I'm gay.
Yeah.
Because I'm not gay.
Right.
Well,
I could be bi, maybe.
But at that point, he was gay.
He was gay. He knew.
He finally knew. But yeah, I did love, it felt very realistic to me and like very emotional, just how much the representation mattered to them. But I think the book did it really well because you can feel the shift.
You can feel the shift in the show as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then, speaking of our favorite, Shane's mother, our queen, Shane and Ilya go to the cottage. It's really sweet. They are finally basically admitting that they're in love with each other.
I knew they were going to get caught there.
Yeah.
Yep. And
Shane's dad walks in.
Forgot his charger.
Oh, no. In the book, it's the dishwasher pods.
You're right. It was dishwasher pods. Correct.
Yeah. So what did you guys think of the cottage and that whole scene where they get found out?
I can't believe his dad just drove away. But also, I don't know what else I'd expect him to do. And the whole thing was probably the funniest, but also most emotional part of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she balanced it well. She cut the tension with a lot of humor.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think at first I was like, why is he driving away? Why isn't he wanting to talk? But I think because he's actually like a really good father, where he's just letting, like, I felt like I intruded
on him.
Yeah, yeah. I intruded on his privacy. He didn't intend me to see this, so I'm not going to stay around and keep intruding. I'm going to go back. And the fact that he didn't tell his wife what he had saw, that's what seals that deal, where it's just like, okay, he actually was legitimately like, oh my God, no, I shouldn't have seen this.
He no, the best to part is they weren't upset that he was gay. They were upset that it was Ilya Rosanov.
Yeah. They were like, yeah, Shane, we kind of thought that you might be gay because you're rich and famous and never have a girlfriend. But, this guy?
Really? Out and of then all the men?
Since you were teenagers?
Yes. Heart-wrenching. As a parent, that must have been heart-wrenching. Just being like, wow.
On the outside of it.
Yeah.
Like 10 years? You're kidding me?
Been this guy for 10 years?
Yeah. Like, I haven't known you all the way for 10 years. That's got to be sad as a parent.
Right. And then that's why Shane and his mom have that moment.
And Abby, she becomes the manager of their charity.
Yeah, of course.
Momager.
I will say, okay, the charity made me roll my eyes.
Yeah.
I was like,
let us think of this really convoluted, really slow way to come out to everybody.
And also, every athlete has a charity, and they're literally just a tax write-off. Like, I'm always like, okay, athletes in their goddamn.
The most interesting part was that he told Hayden.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I did enjoy reading that scene because Hayden and Ilya really hate each other.
It's so funny.
And Ilya is so mean, but I love how mean he is.
Yeah.
And Hayden's trying his best.
Hayden's really trying.
Which is funny. I like seeing it. It's like you told a big, tough guy and he's like trying to
a big, understand tough guy the new normal.
Yeah. 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 It is very cute.
Well, because you could tell Hayden was like accepting of the gay part of it. He just wasn't accepting of the Ilya Rosanov of it all.
That's the best part, is no one's like, ew, you're gay. They're like, ew.
Ilya? And Ilya's like, ew, you?
He's like, oh,
sorry I punched you in the face, dude.
Right. I have to impress the 15th best player in Montreal. Yeah, he's always taking a fucking fight.
He's so savage.
I love it. It's a good ending. I think it's the right ending for the book. And I think you get enough resolution that it still feels like the story is a happy ending, even though you know that there's still a long way to go.
Yeah. And I will say the charity comes into play.
You could have removed half the sex and written the whole thing.
True. True. However, I am just going to happily read the next one anyway.
The next one's a lot less sex. It's a lot more mental health issues. It's a lot more charity. Like, it starts out with the charity and everything. And it's more Ilya's perspective than Shane's, for sure.
Ooh, that's interesting. I feel like book one is a little bit the opposite.
Yes. And so I think it almost entirely focuses on Ilya. There's some one-offs. But it's very much so they're in a relationship now. They're not in lust anymore. But they're doing long distance. And they haven't come out to everyone, and they haven't come out to the world. So,
and I will say, I want to say this because I have complained about this in fantasy book after fantasy book after fantasy book. They fall in love and they do not lose their tense, combative connection. Okay. No. I'm tired of reading these fantasy novels where the shadow daddy eventually turns into a doormat for the female main character. This book is a great example. They fall in love and Ilya is still just as annoying to Shane as he ever was and is still constantly ribbing him and making fun of him. And that's how it should be.
Yes.
Can't wait to read about Ilya because he's my like favorite character ever.
Yeah, I really think you're going to enjoy The Long Game.
Everyone likes it more. You guys, do you guys know this? Everyone likes The Long Game more than Heated Rivalry.
I read that review for you.
It was heartbreaking, but I loved it.
Oh, no, don't say that. Don't tell me anything. I don't know.
I'm not telling you anything. I'm just telling you my feelings on it.
I'm honestly surprised you haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
I was going to read it today, but now I have plans later, so I probably won't read it today. I'll probably read it tomorrow because I have tomorrow.
Plans?
Yeah.
Rude.
I know. I wasn't supposed to have plans, but now I've got to cook for some people, so.
I will not be reading. I will be reading The Strength of the Few and your stupid bunny book.
Ha ha ha. I can't wait.
I have to read your stupid bunny book.
I'm so excited. Okay. Well, I think that's it. Do you guys have book recommendations?
I already mentioned Icebreaker by Hannah Grace, which I think is kind of the like one that really broke on the scene for hockey romances. It's a hockey player and a figure skater. I think that's when people really got interested, is when that one blew up. And now we've seen a lot more saturate the market. Also too much sex in that book. So, including in the back of an Uber with people in the car.
Oh my God.
Yes, there is. Yes.
It's super dirty. But if you like that and you're hoping to get a similar romance when you are a heterosexual woman like me, you might like it better.
I'm going to recommend Butcher and Blackbird because it's another 10-year-long slow burn with very intense sex. And it is also sort of a rivals to lovers storyline. Just heterosexual, but don't worry, still lots of butt stuff.
Also maybe too much sex.
Also, but the sex doesn't start till much later in the relationship. Instead, right.
It was more tolerable for me
right at first. But it gets raunchy. It gets there.
The second book in that series, all sex. Never read the third.
I guess I'm gonna recommend Bride. Or anything really, Allie Hazelwood, for if you're wanting like smutty romance that has a little bit more depth to it.
Bride is like the least smutty of her books.
I know.
It's just the weirdest.
I know. Anyway, Bride.
All right. Well, rate and review our podcast, please. Please watch Heated Rivalry. Please read the book. I'm begging you. It's please, so please, good. Please. You guys know I hate romance. Okay, just do it. And then come tell us what you think. You can connect with us at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere, or busygirls.com or busygirlspod.com. Sorry.
Yep. So hit us up. Tell us what you think of the book and the show. And we'll be back next week. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.